There's a lot going on in the spirit realm right now. Welcome, church. It's great to be alive, isn't it, brother?
Amen.
It's great to be here. Amen. Man, today we have an offering message, but before I get to that, I just want to say I felt it upstairs. It's like I saw a picture of a puzzle. And it's some people are just getting started on the puzzle. It's just a pile mixed up. You think your life is all mixed up, and you're just finding the edges. You're just finding the flat edges around the outside, and you're building. You're starting to formulate what the puzzle is going to look like, but you're at the very beginning, like you're finding the first piece of your life today. Amen. And some have the parameters, some have the straight edges on the outside put together. But the inside has some work to do. Amen. The pieces aren't square. You can't see it as easily as the outside edge. But it's still there. The Lord is going to minister to you today to put the pieces where they need to be. This is what the Lord's showing me. Everybody's at a different place. And everybody has their own life, their own puzzle that God has for them. It's the picture and the design that God has for you. And you may think, well, I'm just young. I don't really know. I got one of those big puzzles, those kids' puzzles. You know, they're like five pieces, but the pieces are like this big. And you're formulating that, and you're like, but you're growing. You're growing. And the Lord's giving you a more defined puzzle. And as you get bigger in age, you do a bigger puzzle. And the detail is greater. And it may seem more difficult to accomplish, but the Lord is with you to accomplish it. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? You're at a different place. God is designing. He's formulating. And he's showing you where you fit in this thing called life. Where you fit in this thing called the kingdom of God. And he's going to reveal to you by the Spirit. So every puzzle looks different, just like each one of us are different. And someone else's puzzle piece will not fit in your puzzle. Does not work that way. And what they have got their edge solidified, and you can't look down at them, and you can't look up at other people. You have to be where God wants you to be. And be honest with yourself. If you don't have the edge done, keep working at it. Stay focused at it. Don't pull away from it, and don't look at somebody else's life to decide or discern where you are. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Because I'm telling you, the young one that has the five-piece puzzle together is in a great place. Amen. Yours is, that's completed, isn't it? But the one that you're working on the outside, you're thinking, man, how long is this going to take? Till you get the outside done, you can't work on the center. Any puzzle people in here? I'll be honest with you, I'm not a puzzle person. I don't know where all this is. This is coming from my spirit. I can't sit still enough to look at a puzzle. I just can't. But some people can sit there all day and do like a 5,000-piece puzzle. Guess what? That's each person is their own person. Where that came from, let it speak to you by the Spirit. Let it speak to you. That's all I have about that. Michaela's going to share the offering this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be honest. I told Dad I would do this, and then it like didn't flow the next day, and I was like freaking out. But God's good. The Holy Spirit's good. So if you want to turn to Hebrews 10:23, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified, and we might go through 25. The scripture says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. Who has hope here? It's your hope in Christ. Amen. We've got to know what our hope is in. It's one thing to say, hey, I have hope, but what is it in? That's where your anchor's at. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Now, does anyone pop up in your head when those adjectives come out, reliable, trustworthy, and faithful? Besides God, I mean, like, he's that, like, you know, all the time, but someone might pop into your head. So, like, just keep that image. So, he's faithful and to his word. So, if we go to 2 Corinthians 9-10, so when we put this scripture into offering and tithes, He gives seed to the sower. So this scripture reads, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." So not only does he provide it, once you plant it, you get a harvest back, and then you can give generously to others around you. So I love to take the scriptures and apply it to me. Thank you, Lord, that you provide the seed for me as the farmer, that I will have bread to eat, and you will provide and increase my resources, and then I can produce a great harvest of generosity for others around me. So if we bounce back up to Hebrews 10, if you go to 24, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and do good deeds. 25 says, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. That's what we're doing today. We're here today. We're coming together, encouraging one another in love. We're not just robots here, like AI version church. We're human beings here, bringing each other up in faith as Christ's return is approaching. And I also want to remind you, going back to the offering, if we go to Philippians 4, 18 through 19, this is Paul preaching to the Philippian church. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, first I only had 19, but Mom was like, you know, you should do 18 too, give it some context. The generosity of the Philippians is what got Paul through. And he's saying, my God that supplies everything I have need of is supplying you as you give. So then if we bounce down to, let's see, where do we want to go, Holy Spirit? Thank you. I think the biggest thing sometimes we deal with is the necessities, but God gives us peace in everything as we give. It's not just a, we get the clothes, you know. Matthew 6:31 talks about how he gives us what to drink, what to wear, and everything. But I also want to go to actually that verse. And 32 says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. The fear of lack dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. I'm not going to have anyone raise their hand if they're an unbeliever, because that would be a little awkward. But we're believers. So these worries, that isn't even our level. That's not even the field we're sowing in. We're sowing in faith. Because James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow, cast by his turning. For he is perfect and never changes. So when you go back to that thought that I had you do of someone that you know that's trustworthy and faithful, a human, you know, God's always the same. You can probably think of one instance where maybe they let you down. But this scripture just shows just how good God is, that he's never wavering. He never doesn't love you, whether you give $5 one week or $500 the next. He loves you. You give 10%, that's a given. That's your tithe. But as you give offerings, he's looking at your heart. And if we go to Hebrews 6:18, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Which the scripture is kind of funny because we're in political season, so you're hearing a lot of promises from people from a platform that aren't always going to come to pass. But this just goes to show God's character. And as we look to him, and not on what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, but who he is, and we continue on, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. And in the beginning of Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promises is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. So that's who you're sowing into. That's the character of God that you're sowing into, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so, you know, I can share all these great scriptures, and the word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. But it's always good to have, you know, what has the Lord done for you? How can you be up here so confidently sharing? So on August 28th, 2022, I had just graduated high school that May, and I was starting college. The day before I started my classes, I wrote, I know with God and these jobs, I will be able to get through college debt-free. This is the day before I was going to be a freshman in college. I had money saved up for my first year of college. I can't remember how much I had. I'm not that good on memory. But I had forgotten I had said this. It's now 2024. I'm a junior in college. All my college is paid for all the way till I graduate. My senior year is paid for as a junior. During when I was writing this, I was tithing and I was giving offerings, and I have not wavered from that since. And now the harvest is here. And I thank God every day. My car paid for, no car payment. College paid for, no student loans or debt. I'm going to have a house paid for because the Lord shows me that I was 15 when I got my car. Paid for, done when I was 16. I'm 20 years old. My college is completely paid for. There is no lack in the spirit, no age gap, no financial lack. He takes you, as Pastor Ronnie says, from the outhouse to the penthouse. You just have to put your faith in it to sow it. Sow it. There's different seeds. The Lord showed me, you know, you can plant a zucchini plant and, you know, it'll come. You plant an apple seed, that apple tree might take a little bit, but you just keep your faith. You keep watering consistently, consistently, you'll get a harvest. And that's what I wanted to encourage you all today, that you are victors, you are harvesters. You're not just planters, you are harvesters in Christ. And remember, don't just apply this to your finances. Apply it to souls, apply it to your children, apply it to your job, because what you sow into, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And there was no instance where I said, I don't think I'll get through school. I never said that. I can tell you straight, I never, ever spoke doubt over the seed I planted. Because when you go to Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. In every situation, speak life into it. The doctor gave you a bad report, you speak life into it. I had a stroke when I was a child. There was things spoken over me, doubt spoken over me. My mother was my advocate because I don't even think I could form words by that time. Speaking of life, here I am today standing with no impairments. I thank God for that. But that's just what I wanted to encourage you with, because I know you all are sowers, and I know you all are harvesters, and I know you're waiting maybe for your apple tree to grow. You maybe got the zucchini plant already and harvested it, but God's good. And you just keep speaking life. And that's why it's so important to read. These scriptures just came to me as I was writing this. I had no idea where this was going. But when you have the word inside of you and you speak life, that's the fertilizer you see. You water it, you fertilize it, you give good soil. The Lord's your soil. His promises are the soil. You're planting your seed in his soil. You're watering it and fertilizing it with his word. Your mouth is the watering can. It's the watering can. So that's what I had for you today. If the ushers want to come forward, I know you all know the drill. We got this wonderful thing if you aren't like me that pays cash and everything. So we got all the different things. We got the website, the QR code. But put your faith into it. You know, 10%. I know you all know that. You've heard it. But the offering, it's amazing. When money doesn't have a hold on you, when you can give, when you know, I'm not telling you your amount of offering to give. I'm telling you, let the Lord tell you. Let the Lord tell you. Don't limit the boundaries of your garden. Like Dad was talking about the puzzle. Think of your garden. You know, people are like, I have to have it this plot, this. No. Ask the Lord what your garden looks like. Jesus' name, ushers, you may go serve the people. I encourage you. Even I've been listening to Seed of Faith by Charity Gale, Report of the Lord by Charity Gale. And Charity Gale's awesome, but not just, you know, bragging about her. But, you know, start speaking life, singing life over your seed as you plant it. What's the goal? And how are you going to go higher? When you plant a garden, you're like, okay, I'm going to can this, this, and this, and this. And then this is what I want to do next year. Don't limit it to like, okay, when it comes. No. This is what I want to do with it. What do you do when people can and they have like a gazillion cucumbers? They start giving them away because they're like, they're coming out of my ears. I can't handle this. So think about it. Put a vision to your seed. And go back to the generosity. 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 Not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. The Lord's coming soon. I feel it. We've been talking about it. There's a harvest coming, and it's here, and it's in. It's not just in here. It's in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the seed being planted, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the givers at New Freedom Church. I thank you for the givers online. But, Lord, I'm seeing the planters and the harvesters right in front of my eyes. And I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of my own giving and that I can give all the glory to you in it because it's not in my doing. It's all in your doing, Lord. I just thank you for it. I thank you that you're encouraging the hearts of the believers in New Freedom Church. Lord, I thank you for New Freedom. I thank you for the giving hearts of the people. Lord, I thank you for your promises that remind them of the hope that they have in you and what they can expect. And Lord, we just thank you that the seed is planted in good soil. And Lord, we speak life into it now in Jesus' name. May the biggest harvest come so generosity can be made forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Man, did that speak to you? Man, that's good. I love when people come up, especially my daughter, but I love when they just got God on the inside of them. You can't help but receive the anointing that's on the words. And I just want to say, God's no respecter of person. So, you know, what he does for one, he'll do for another. So it's up to you whether you're like, man, if he can do it for her, he can do it for me. I'm going to grab a hold of that. How many people are grabbing hold of the word? Amen. Yeah, God's watching over you. He's going to not only give you seed, he's going to bless it and give you a harvest so you can be generous to show God's love to those around you. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, as we continue in what you have for us today. Lord, I thank you that we are getting started, Lord. I thank you for that message on the offering and the giving, Lord. I thank you that you are the supreme giver. You gave it all, Lord. And Father, I thank you that as you minister to the hearts and minds of people today, even their bodies, Lord, I thank you for supernatural healing on people's bodies today. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. This just lends me right into the message. My daughter didn't know my message, but the Holy Spirit did. Amen. So the title of the message is Standing Victorious. Standing in the place of victory. And as hard as that may sound to try to grasp what that means, the concept, when you understand it, is the simplest ever. When you start understanding what Christ has done for you, all you have to do is take the place where it is. It's not, I'm trying to get the victory. It's, I've already got the victory, and you just need to believe that it's yours. It's really standing in what Jesus provided for you. And to, it's pretty easy just to stand. You know, we just, man, you could just stand where you are, and you're standing. You understand? That's how easy this is. It's a decision. The victorious life is a decision. It's a seed of decision. And when you take that seed and you plant it and you believe on that seed, that decision that you have made in Christ, amen, and you stand there, every area that you're standing in is victorious. It's not you're trying to get the victory. You already have it. All you got to do is make the decision that it's yours. So the victory of finances, she made that decision. She stood in that place. She honored God's word, and she did what the word said by sowing and standing. Consistency. Standing consistent is consistent victory. Not up and down victory. Consistency causes victory in Christ. And when you start getting a hold of this, I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I have the victory already on the inside. Same thing with your thoughts. You're like, man, I deal with this thought. Well, stop dealing with it and give it to God. Then you don't have to deal with it any longer and you have the victory. You say, is it that? It is that easy. It is a mindset. It is a decision to stand in victory. Amen. It's a decision to stand for truth. It's not, you can't conjure up the truth. You just believe the truth and you become set free. You hear what I'm saying? Are you getting anything? This is so simple. Anybody can get it. You just have to decide. I want it. If you want a cheeseburger from McDonald's, all you got to do is make the decision to go through McDonald's drive-thru. And guess what you got? It's already made for you. Yeah, I know that's the bad example. If you want a steak from Ruth Chris Steakhouse, all you got to do is decide, I'm going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse and I'm going to eat a steak. Well, you got to go there, though. You have to make the decision that's what you want. Yeah. She made the decision, my college is going to be paid for, God's going to supply. My car is going to be paid for, God's going to supply. But she didn't just sit back there on the couch and do nothing. Amen. I want you to understand it, and I know I'm going after it. I always go after it. You know, you try to set up a sermon to make it sound good and lead into something. That's not my style. If you don't know me, I just go after it. It's like, you know, just go at it full bore, headlong. But, you know, in James it talks about, I'll show you my faith by my works. You don't do the works to see the faith. You believe, and by believing the works, you automatically do the work. We're some reason the world has flip-flopped it where we're trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to live good enough. We're trying to work it out in our own power. Faith without works is dead. Works are a part of it, but works are the byproduct of your faith. Not the other way around. You don't go out, you don't go to church. You come to church because you believe God and you know God has something wonderful for you. And He's got a great family for you to be a part of. That's why you go. You don't go to check the box off to say, well, I go to church so I'm a Christian. No, you're a Christian. That's why you go to church. You understand? For some reason we have mixed this thing up and the enemy has deceived people to start laboring in areas where they just need a stand. Yeah. Amen. It's for some reason we're trying to earn our salvation by our works. No, you earn your salvation by your belief system. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift. It's a gift. Victory is a gift from God. It really is. Healing is a gift. Love is a gift. Peace is a gift. Grace is a gift. Joy is a gift. Yeah. You want to be more joyful? Make a decision. Come on. Ha! I'm going to be joyful today. Right. You want to worship God? Make a decision. Yeah. You want to be devoted to God? Set time aside to devote to God. Mm-hmm. You want to be a prayer warrior? Make a decision. Yeah. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. How do you do that? Get in the Word. Start talking to God. Spend some quiet time with God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with or working through, it's a decision and your victory is right on the other side of the door. It is right there. Every area of your life that you want victory, financial victory is not in the sweat of your brow. Financial victory is in your belief system in the God and the Creator of all. And He'll show you, He'll guide you, He'll direct your steps into that place of financial breakthrough. He gives you His word about tithes and offerings. If you have a hard time giving your tithe, you're really limiting yourself from walking in financial victory. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Amen. If you want healing, a merry heart does good like medicine. If you're down and out all the time, you are making that decision to not cultivate joy on the inside, and that's going to cause peace and healing on the outside. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm getting ready to shout better than you're shouting. Amen. You got to see that your victory is already made available through the resurrection. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get the victory. Jesus already died and paid for it, rose again, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. Yeah. We just don't understand what our victory is. Yeah. It's in Him. Yeah. In Him we live and move and have our being. That's victory. That's victory. Today I got victory. Whew. Okay. Back to my sermon. The Lord gave me this sermon because I believe we're coming into a time and a season, and we're already in it, where it's going to be different than what we're ever used to. This is a prophetic word. It's different than what we've ever been a part of. It's a unique time. It's another level. It's another level. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just the way it is. It's almost like, it's like you have a pasture, but then you extend your pasture. You're not used to that area, but it's a good area. You're going to dwell in that area, but there's some unfamiliar to it. And that's what I want to get across to you is standing in victory, no matter if it's unfamiliar, you know you need to be there and you need to stand there. So no matter what happens with this election, you need to know something. The election does not change your victory. Come on. This is a word for today. Elections Tuesday, things are going to happen either way the election goes. No matter what, you're still going to have to stand in the place of victory in Christ. You being in Christ has nothing to do with the election. But the election and the process moving forward, if the church stays in Christ where it needs to be, it will affect what goes on in our culture and in our country. You understand what I'm saying? There should not be a separation of church and state. The church should infiltrate the state. The government is upon his shoulders, the Bible says. Amen. So the church has supreme authority in victory, even in the culture. And that's what we're voting on, is we got to stand with what the foundation of this country is about. And God is in the Declaration of Independence 4 times. He's written in there. Amen. Why? Because that's the foundation. Amen. So God's for it. God's already been placed in there. So this nation can prosper when God's in it. And God's for it. Amen. Humble yourselves and pray. That's why we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray for this nation in this election. But you got to get it on the inside and know ahead of time, your victory is already supplied. You're not waiting for what you see to decide whether you're victorious or not. Because what you're going to see is not going to be happy. I'm not trying to prophesy negative. I'm just being honest with you. We're in a time and a season. It isn't getting better in the natural. It's going to get worse. And you got to make a decision that you're going to be able to stand even if it gets worse. As a pastor, I have to tell you this thing. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for everything. And if you're looking, waiting, wondering, trying to elect an official that's going to make your life easier, you're not going to get the victory because they're not your savior. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're red, purple, or blue. They're not your savior. I don't care if you're CNN or Fox News, they're all corrupt. Come on. Hey, man, it's not the Bible. They're not being led by God. They're being led by mammon. Yeah. And I don't care how they make it look and how conservative they make it sound, they're corrupt. Yep. And I know you may get mad at me because I called Fox News corrupt. They're corrupt. They just make it look differently. They're not giving you news, they're giving you propaganda. And all they do is do this to each other. They're not trying. They're not for the people. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, standing in victory is not getting your information from the media. It's getting your information from heaven. Yeah. Your victory is in the kingdom of heaven. So you must understand how heaven operates to be able to walk in victory. Yeah. Come on. Here we go. Luke 19:13. This will be a point for you. Point number one. Luke 19:13 talks about, occupy till I come. Is that what it says? I think that's a different scripture. Okay, good. I didn't write it down. I just wrote down the reference. Do we have that, Luke 19:13? Because pastor should have wrote it down. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered them the 10 minus, and said to them, do business till I come. Do business mean occupy. This is key, church. To walking and living in victory. Occupy. What does occupy mean? Now, I don't want you to take this in a religious thing based off of what I said earlier. Get this by the Spirit. To busy oneself, carry on with business. So to occupy is to be about your Father's business. And we must be about God's business every day and every moment to walk in victory. That's how you occupy. And occupy means multiple things, but they're all the same. In the military sense, it's hold control of what was conquered. So when Jesus came and paid the price and delivered us from the power of sin and death, every principality, all of that was done away with when he was resurrected. He defeated Satan, amen, and got the victory. That he occupied the realm of the Spirit when he came here, and he gave that same power to the church. So for us to occupy in the spirit realm, we have total victory in the spirit realm. There's no demon in hell that has the power over you. If he does, or if it does, that means you're not walking in your authority of what you're not occupying, your territory. I got deep really quick. I got really deep. But I'm telling you right now, you need to occupy your spirit, you need to occupy your mind, and you need to occupy your body. Those are the three areas that God has given us, spirit, soul, and body. And if you're not occupying it the way the kingdom of God says, you're not going to have victory in those areas. Your mind, if you're dealing with mind and thought issues, you're not occupying with the word of God that area. Because if the word was there, the freedom is there and the victory is there. So if you're in a mindset and a stronghold that keeps coming at you, you need to get the word to counter it to get the victory over it. And you need to stand in that place. You say, how many times do I have to quote that scripture, no weapon formed me will prosper? As long as it takes for you to know that you know that you know you got the victory.
Amen.
Amen. And even after you have the victory, you got to quote it so you don't fall back into it. You understand what I'm saying? Occupy is a big word. To busy oneself, carry on with business. That means to do my work until I return, Jesus is saying. No matter what it looks like. You do not stop doing God's work. I don't stop preaching just because they say shut down the church because of COVID. Occupy is standing. It's keeping the territory and the ground that Jesus provided for us. So if he provided the way it is in Eden, when Adam and Eve fell, Jesus is the second Adam, and he broke that curse, and now we have what was originally intended. Guess what? That's where we need to occupy, and guess what? That's where the victory is. That's where the victory is. So you can see it in other areas. It also means to invest with the intent of increase. When you occupy something, you invest in it in the intent for it to increase. So when the church occupies, it invests in souls, it invests in the kingdom because it's going to increase. That's occupy. So when I say you need to occupy an area, you need to occupy your spirit, your conscience, so it doesn't get hard or offended or seared. You need to occupy your thought patterns. Amen. Guess what? Who is in charge of your thought patterns? You. Nobody else is in charge of you. Nobody else knows what you're thinking. When I stand up here, I can look at you, and sometimes you can tell what people are thinking by the way their facial expressions are, but not all the time. But you are the ones that have the ability, and the only one that has the ability to take control of your thoughts. Nobody else can. Nobody else. So to be able to occupy your thoughts, to do God's kingdom business in your thoughts, you have to renew your mind. You have to get the truth on the inside of you above the lie that's been spoken. So if you don't occupy that area, something's going to occupy it. Come on, hear me out here. If you don't occupy your house, you're going to have a squatter that's going to come in and occupy your house. In the natural realm. If you don't occupy your finances and write a will, the government's going to occupy your finances. You hear what I'm saying? Let's make it just simple. Amen. If you don't occupy anything that the Lord has given you to steward, something else is going to occupy it. If Jesus doesn't occupy your heart, guess what's occupying it? There's only one other option. The powers of this world. Amen. Demons. You say, that's awful. How can you say demon? Yeah. You're of your father, the devil, Jesus said, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, he did. So something's going to occupy every area. And that when you occupy it, you have control of it. So if you relinquish occupancy, there's a control that takes over. So you can either occupy with the power of God in the Holy Ghost, in the Word of God, or you can allow this world to occupy it. And that's the battle that we face every day as a believer, is what do we allow to occupy? Whatever the kingdom is occupying and is allowed to occupy, that's going to have victory. Whatever is not allowed to have the kingdom in operation is going to be occupied by darkness in this world. If you can get that on the inside, you'll be able to look at your life and say, there's some gray here, there's some dark, there's some areas that I need a little more Jesus. There's some areas that I need the power of God in this area. I have not mastered it. I have not figured it out. I need help in this area. Because you see, if there's not victory there, there's something there occupying that realm. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not saying if you don't have the victory in the area, you got a demon. I'm not saying that. Right. But you may have a lie or a mindset, or you may be deceived and not know the truth in that area. You may just be ignorant. The world's ignorant of the truth, so what they're occupied by the things of this world. Money's the same way, even in the church. You can love Jesus with all of your heart, just like the rich young ruler. He did it all, but what did he lack? He didn't want to give over his wealth. Guess what? The world occupied his money. And that kept him from all that God had for him. And you can see it. King David, everybody, every human being deals with what's occupying that realm. Yeah. King David was doing great till he saw Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. Then the physical realm started occupying his thoughts, and it led to his actions. Right. Man after God's own heart. Abraham, believe God. He was believing God. And then he decided he wasn't seeing what he wanted to see quick enough, so he decided to sleep with the maidservant. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And look what the Lord did. After Isaac, Abraham had more kids, even after he turned 100. So we can see here that I don't want to just share stories in Scripture. I want you to look inward and see, Lord, what is occupying my time? Guess what? You guys are in a great place because you are here in church this morning, allowing this time to be occupied by the ministering of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. And ministry gifts. But think about time. Whatever time is occupied, if you occupy your time on social media or the news all day long, guess what? You're not going to have victory in that area. I guarantee you, you're not going to have victory in that area. That time is going to be wasted time. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just trying to be as loving as I can against the realm of what's being pushed on people. Okay, I'm glad you got Occupy. Deuteronomy 1:8 talks about go and possess the land which he swore to give to them. New Living Translation says, occupy the land. God told them to go and occupy it. Take the ground. Amen. Guess what? God's telling you to take some ground. Yeah. Your thoughts are nobody else's ground but yours. You should have total control over your thoughts. Yeah. And what I mean by that is not the ones that it come, because thoughts will come. How you handle them, you have total control over. You have total victory over your thoughts. Amen. Total. Every high thing must come down. Bring every thought into captivity. That means Paul was saying that every thought you have the power to either release, grab a hold of, or put in jail. Every thought you have the power over. Yeah. One person agrees with me. Praise God. One's better than none. You have the power over your thoughts. But the people that allow thoughts to run rampant and never put them in jail, guess what? They are going to run roughshod over you. They are going to stress you out, worry you to death, keep you from sleep, and then the world will give you medicine to help you sleep because you're not dealing with the thought. The thought is the root. You got to renew your mind and get the truth on the inside, and you'll probably come off of medication. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. People have been hoodwinked to the fact that they need medicine for everything. And they're using the whole alphabet to give you a disorder. And it gets longer. Just like the homosexual thing. Just lesbian at first. Now it's like five letters with a plus sign at the end or something. I mean, we can laugh about it, but I'm being dead serious. They didn't have these issues, man. You had the fear of the Lord. You surrendered everything to God, and you, without God, you were nothing. God was everything. It was your life. Your life depended on God. And that was it. There was no question. There was no maybe. There was no, well, let me try it this way for a little bit. No. You gave everything to God and you laid it all down and you surrendered everything and humbled yourself and said, Lord, but now we believe the lie that the enemy is portraying that our kids have problems before they're born. They got mental disorders. I know that this does not float well on social media or anywhere else because people have been ingrained with it. That there's medication for every problem. And it's easier to just take a pop a pill than make a decision. It's easier to say, I'll believe the doctor's report better than the Creator's report. Come on. Is it the truth or not? You better believe it's the truth. It's the truth. But people don't want to hear the truth. They have itching ears. Whatever they want to hear and whatever's easiest to their flesh, that's what they're going to believe. Whatever they can have a scapegoat to, that's what they're going to take. They'll take the easy way out every time. Same thing with jobs. People will not stick at their job till the Lord releases them. They'll stick at their job long enough till it gets uncomfortable, and then all of a sudden they'll skip. That's why these business owners have such a hard time keeping people. Oh, I get a 50-cent raise from the guy next door. I'm going to buy, see you. And they go next door. And they just jump jobs all around. You can see it all through society. God wants you steady to occupy and only move when He tells you to move. Yeah. If God says you're healed, you're healed. Amen. I'm not against doctors. The Lord may send you to a doctor. Just to confirm your healing. Amen. Amen. Okay. Wow. So how do we apply this? How do we truly occupy? How do we stand victorious? Because it's one thing to preach it and to share, but how do we apply it? How do we literally leave here today saying, I'm victorious, and then all of a sudden it feels like, every way but sideways, you're being whacked over the head. Yeah. Or you're sitting there right now thinking, well, I had these thoughts and what he's saying sounds kind of good, but man, I've gone so long doing it this way, I'm having a hard time believing that there's a better way or a different way. Yeah. Don't raise your hand, but the majority of the people are thinking right now at this moment, right here and online, this is messing with my thought patterns. This is messing with my belief system. So I'm going to give you the one way of breaking through to the ability to live and stand victorious every moment of every day. And the Bible's full of answers to this. Full of answers. But the main thing I want you to get is decision. The point of decision. It starts with a decision. A seed the size of a mustard seed is enough. Do you know when God's word is planted in the ground of your heart, that's all the decision that needs to be made for a harvest of victory. A seed, a mustard seed faith will get you saved, will get you born again. That's all it takes. All you need is a speck of God believed on the inside to get the victory on the outside. So don't think, well, I gotta change all this and I gotta pray and I gotta fast and I gotta do all this type of stuff and listen to messages all day long and read five chapters in my Bible and all these types of things to get to a place where I can. No, a decision. Your victory is already provided. You don't have to go work it out. It's already there. You just have to say it's yours. You have to put your name on it. Really. If I had a sheet of paper that says, Pastor Joe, all your victories are up here. All you have to do is come sign it. That's all we'd have to do. They're already there. And when you see yourself that way, when you see and you know who you are in Christ and what he's done for you, your life is totally different. You laugh at trials. You laugh at struggles. I gave my truck away. The next day, I go outside at 5:30, having to leave at 5:45, and our vehicle wouldn't start. Gave the one away, the next one didn't start. Just dead. I mean, the seat didn't move, the light didn't come on, no ding, no nothing. And I'm thinking, Jesus. And I just start laughing. I'm like, this is phenomenal. You know, this is phenomenal. So what do? Kick the car and put a dent in it? That's what the world does. You piece of junk. And they get mad and they go and yell at their wife because the car battery's dead. We laugh, but it happens. You better believe it. Your flesh rises up when things don't happen the way you want them to. Some of you may be laughing because it happened to you. I hope not, though. But I had, at that moment, a decision had to be made. And that decision set a trajectory of how that day was going to go. And I'm not saying I handled it perfectly because my wife called me and I was frustrated. I was. I'll be honest with you. I was frustrated. Just short story. Even a couple days ago, needed a new battery. Got the battery. Got a new piece because it was corroded. The terminal was corroded. I thought, well, maybe that's it. So I put baking soda, cleaned it all up, do the little farmer thing I knew to do. But realized the connector was actually messed up on the top of the battery. So I went and got a new connector, cut the wire, put it on there, put it on the battery, tightened it down. And then I realized that after I tightened it, I wanted to adjust something. So I went to untighten the connector, and the bolt stripped, the brand new bolt stripped. So I couldn't even get it back off after I spent the money for the new piece. So the very new piece busted in like 30 seconds of after I put it on there. And I'm like, Jesus. And I just kept smiling. And my wife calls. I was like, this is phenomenal. This is great. The hood's up. The other vehicle's gone. We can't move our vehicle. This is just, the day's getting better. This is just great. Anybody ever had a day like that? Where every way you turn is the wrong way? It's like, I might as well turn around and walk backwards. That's what you think. Just, I wish this day never happened. Oh, no, nobody's had days like that. That's okay. That's okay. But the decision of victory was not in the circumstance. Your circumstance is not the deciding factor of your victory. You got to see that. This election is not the deciding factor whether you are going to live or die, or whether life's going to be hard, or the economy's going to be hard on you, or your business is going to fail, or you're going to get fired from your job, and every other thought that comes your way. If this person gets in office, my golly, I hope Jesus comes back sooner. No! Jesus is coming back when Jesus wants to come back. Right. When his dad says go, that's when Jesus comes. Yeah. Not based off of who's in office. You got to get it on the inside. You're victorious already. You're not moved by what it looks like. I mean, they could not even have an election and there'd be a world war and you'd be like, I love Jesus. I'm going to church. Amen. They shut down the church. We're going to have underground church. You just got to decide. If I get imprisoned, somebody else is preaching and I'll have a prison ministry. Amen. Instant prison ministry. Amen. That's the way it is. I'm going to be victorious wherever I go because what is in me, the world can't take. What is in me, what is in you, the world can't steal. You have to relinquish it. You have to release your victory. You have to release. If Jesus paid for it and you have Jesus, you already have the victory. And the reason we don't have the victory in areas is because we are not yielding to that victory and speaking that victory over our lives. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Death and life. You speak life to a situation, it shall live and not die. Amen. My daughter had that stroke. We spoke life. Perfectly made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. My vehicle runs. The Lord is, praise God. So it's your perspective on a decision. What are you going to decide in the moment? You young people that are in school, you got to make a decision. The way you're going to live, the way you're going to handle your vessel. Amen. Who you're going to hang around. Your decision on who you hang around. You ask any older person around here about decisions that they made in high school. Detrimental decisions versus good decisions. And the fruit that came out of it. And we all have bad decisions that we've made. Amen. And some we don't need to share no more. Because they under the blood. Amen. But in that moment, if we knew, if we knew what we know now, then we would have made different decisions. For sure. For sure. Guess what? We still have a life to live. We can make a decision now for our future. Amen. Amen. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you've been through. It comes to a point of decision. And that's why Jesus Christ is the first decision you need to make. Because that is the thing. That he is the one that literally opens the door to the blessing of God and victory. He is the victor. You know, he wears the victor's crown. Guess what? He's crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. If there's loving kindness and tender mercy everywhere, and his grace is available, and his love never fails, and he lives in me, guess what? I'm victorious. Hey, I got a crown. You may not see it. You may not see it. But in the spirit, there's a beautiful crown on my head. There's a soul winner's crown. Amen. It's there. It's there. There was a time, and I'm not going to, you know, this is just what the guy told me, so I'm not boasting. I didn't make this up. But when I first started ministering, there was a guy that came to our church in Church Hill. And he sat there, and after the service, he came to me. And he's like, while you were ministering, there was a halo over your head and light coming down from the ceiling on you. And I thought to myself, I didn't see that. I didn't feel that. That sounds awful special. But I'll receive it. Thank you very much. But it was one of those things that there's things in the spirit realm that the Lord is doing. And that was an anointing for that day that spoke to him. He was the only one that saw it. No one else saw it but him. Yeah. Amen. So there's things that God will show people and you're like, what is going on? But it'll help them make a decision that God is real and God is available and God is doing something. All right. Here we go. Go to Ephesians 6 because I got to give you some more scripture. Shoo, a harvest of victory. That's what I'm believing for. Amen. When you start sowing good seeds of decision, good decisions, you are going to reap a harvest of your good decisions. And when you make decisions for God, you're going to reap a harvest of victory, a harvest of the kingdom. You got to see, got to realize something. Everything has a spiritual seed attached to it. Everything. Everything. Not just you. Everything has a spiritual seed. The government has a spiritual seed attached to it. Everything. Angels have a spiritual seed attached to them. Everything has a spiritual seed. And when you understand that, you only want to plant the kingdom seed, not darkness, not the world seed. You understand? So whatever you plant and make a decision to plant, because nothing can plant in you unless you allow it to. You are the keeper of your garden. Does that make sense? Because when you take that stand that you are the keeper and you're not letting someone else vicariously live through you and make all your decisions for you, you are the deciding factor of what comes in and what goes out. Amen. You're the deciding factor of the spiritual influence coming in your ears, your eyes, and all the gates that are open. You're the gatekeeper of your life. And when you understand that, you only want to let in the good. And if you don't understand it, keep the gate up till you get understanding. even on good things, even things I'm saying today, if they're coming to you and you're like, man, I get scripture, pray about it, and then allow it in. Because if you allow something in and you don't understand it, the enemy's going to come in like a flood and steal it at the same time. But when it's revelation to you and you let it in, it's planted. You know that you know it's yours. Yeah. And no matter what hell says, you say, you can go somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? But if you just have it in here and not down here, then the enemy's going to mess with you. But when you get it deep on the inside, planted in your heart, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Right. You got the victory and you know it. Right. I know that I'm healed. Even if there's days that I have pain in my body physically, I'm healed. I don't care. Even if I look a certain way, feel a certain way, bend over a certain way, it doesn't matter. I'm healed. Yeah. I'm healed. No matter what. No matter what, I'm healed. No matter what, I'm saved. Even when I slip up and the battery was not cooperating properly in my vehicle, I didn't let that define me. I was victorious before the battery, victorious with the battery, and victorious after the battery. The situation does not define you. The circumstances do not define you. Your job does not define you. Your bank account does not define you. You're victorious whether your bank account's at zero, minus, or 10 million. Because it's on the inside. It's not what's on the outside that defines you. When you operate in the flesh, the outside is defining you. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I just got a vision. Praise God. I just got a vision. Whether you are it's like a cog or like a gear. And if you are functioning out of God, you can rotate and you can function and you have power in and of yourself. You're not dependent on other power from the outside. It's on the inside of you. Yeah. But if you're living off of the world and what the world's doing, it's like having gears attached to you. In whatever way they spin, you spin with them. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're like, and I'm not going to do that too much, but that's what you feel like. Yeah. You feel like, which way's up? Anybody ever get like nauseous or vertigo? You don't even know if that's the floor or the ceiling. You don't know which way you're turning. It feels like your bed is like in an ocean just floating around and you have no clue. Well, that's where your mind is. When you allow the world's gears, this is ramping up. All of a sudden, boom, it attaches to you. You spin out of control. And you're like, what in the world? Where did that come from? Because you allowed that thought to come in and you didn't contain it. And then you have this one come in, and all of a sudden you got, and then things are blown apart. You got teeth blowing off of your gear. And you're like, man, my world's going to hell, and I don't even know what, I have no control over this. I have no hope. I have nothing, because there's outside influences powering you when you have the power to remove them. Jesus, this is good. Man, is this good. If you can see the powers that are trying to come against you, see them for what they are and do speak to them so they don't touch you. Yeah. So they don't control you or influence you. Yeah. But the enemy will send the very thing that's hard for you to see. Yeah. And that's what I wanted. I'm getting to my message, praise God. Did you find Ephesians 6 yet?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Praise God. Ephesians 6. 10 through 20. Now, this is the New Living Translation, and this is talking about the armor of God. And the reason I brought this up is the very key is in verse 10. When you understand that, it lends itself to why you need the armor. Amen? Listen, when I a final word, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That is the key. That's the decision. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. What does it mean? I need to make a decision that the Lord wants me to do. I'll only do what the Lord tells me to do. Yeah, that's where the power comes. I want the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? There's where the power comes. That's the decision you need to make, is to be strong in the Lord. Anything contrary to being strong in the Lord is not going to give you what you need to overcome and be victorious. If you're strong Physically, I guarantee you, your muscles are going to go weak after a while. You're going to stress yourself. Football players, God bless them. You know, they get paid lots of money to run into each other. And people pay a lot of money to watch them run into each other. But guess what? It's a physical toll on their body. And you see, and they have to go through treatments and all this kind of stuff to help their body maintain it so they can keep playing. Get injected with all this stuff. Take ice baths. Do all these types of things to stay able. You know, they limp off the field. Looks like their knees popping this way. They give them a shot on the sidelines and they're playing in 5 minutes. Your body is not designed to do that. All right, so where did that come from? I don't know. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Everybody say it. I am strong in the Lord. Make sure the Lord's the key point. Amen. Because you'll be strong in something. You can be in corporate America and you can be strong. Doctors, strong intellectually. Scientists, strong intellectually. But you got to be strong in the Lord. Now, you really got somebody that's strong intellectually, but strong in the Lord. And the Lord will use them in that area. Yep. So whatever you're strong in naturally, the Lord wants to take that and just super empower it to be whatever it is that God's calling you to be. Yeah. Does that make sense? So you can be a football player. But if you're a football player on fire for God, you're going to be a witness where you are.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's good to be strong in something, but put the Lord with you. Don't be strong in yourself. All right, I'm glad we got that. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. So you need both parts of that. You can say, well, I'm strong in the Lord, but you don't yield to His power. You can say it in word only, but you're not yielding to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see that? People are strong in word only. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit, that's the very power that causes the word to manifest. You hear what I'm saying? You can be strong. You can quote scriptures, but if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you and empower you, you're not going to fulfill that scripture.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He gives you the power to be a witness. Yeah. Guess what? To be a witness is the ability to go and share, go and do. So we need the power, but we also need the word.
Yeah.
So that's word and spirit right there in verse 10. And it says, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Two things I want you to see here. It's not just, I'm going to pray and whatever happens, happens. We're going to pray tonight, but you better go out and vote too. Because that's putting action to your prayer.
Yeah.
Notice something here. I want you to see this. Put on God's armor. That means there's something you need to put on. There's a part that we need to play. Armor does not work good in the closet. It's useless. Even though it's designed for you, the armor, the king's armor did not fit David. He couldn't wear it. Even though it was armor, he couldn't wear it. There's a whole series of sermon right there about not being like, not using other people's giftings, all kinds of stuff. But it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So there's more than one strategy the devil has. Other translations say it this way. Whenever I find it on my paper. Lord have mercy. Oh yeah. Strategies and deceits of the devil. That means a strategy is like having, if you think about war, which that's what we're in, a battle. Each side has a strategy. Strategic decision-making for the victory. Right? Even the enemy. The enemy has a strategic plan against the church. He has strategies. So, and the reason he has multiple ones, because if he hits you one way and he can't get you, he's going to come around here and try to hit you a different way. That's the strategy of the enemy. He's trying to take you out. So that's why there's more than one piece of armor. Amen. And that's why we got to put all the armor on. Because if you only put one piece, you protect that aspect, but you leave open the other. And I'm going to show you this with the armor, why they're specific to their places. All right? So armor is not, you don't put the shield of faith on your head. Right?
Yeah.
You don't strap it to your back. There's a place for it.
Yeah.
The breastplate of righteousness doesn't go on your kneecap. Okay? I'm trying to be funny to get you to smile a little bit. Hey, it's okay. All right. So there's strategies of the devil. Deceit. That is key. Amplified says strategies and deceits. King James says wiles. And you think, what is that? That's cunning arts, deceit, craftiness, or trickery. That's how the enemy works. So if you want to know the strategies of the enemy, deception, accusations, trickeries, lies. None of it is good. If anybody's ever tricked you or lied to you, they're usually not your friend. Okay? The enemy is not your friend. Don't play with the enemy. Don't use his tactics on other people. Amen. You're just opening the door to having it happen to you. So there's strategies of the devil, but if we put the armor on, that's the answer to the strategies. Okay? So God already gave you the victory over the devil. He already gave you the armor and what's needed to overcome the devil. Every fiery dart of the wicked one will come to nothing as long as your armor's on. Whose decision is it to put the armor on? Yours. I figured you would have got that by now. Amen. Yours. It's a decision to get up, put the armor on. Don't let the armor come off. Lord, protect me as I sleep at night. Protect my mind, Father. You start speaking. You keep the armor on. But the moment you don't keep it, what do you think meditating on the word is really doing? It's keeping your armor on. What do you think prayer does? Keeps your armor on. Amen. That's what these things do. That's why they should be part of your life, because it keeps your armor on. When you stay focused, you keep your armor on. When you get over into your flesh, you're taking your armor off. And that's when you get hit. When you get out of the spirit is when you get hit. I could go many different ways with that. Moving on. Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. That right there should take you right off of this whole agenda with the news and voting. You're not against a person. We're not fighting people. You're not fighting a candidate. You're not mad at a candidate. If you're supposed to love your enemies, then why is it a big deal? You should be in prayer about it. You should be speaking scriptures over this thing, praying for your neighbor, praying about it. Amen. And going and voting, doing your part. Your part is not talking bad about somebody else. Your part is not picketing in the flesh. Come on. The church should not be out there picketing. You're in your flesh. You go to battle with prayer and the word. Amen. You shouldn't be clicking on Facebook, liking and sharing negative things about somebody else. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You're like, Jesus, I need to go up to the altar. He done called me out. Come on. Let's be real about this. If you want to be real and you want to be a genuine, authentic child of God, you got to deal with fleshly tendencies. You got to deal with your emotions. Yeah. Amen. This is good stuff. Shoo. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. I don't care what they look like, what decisions they make. Jesus, I prayed about this and he didn't tell me not to. Jesus, help me. Thank you, Lord. There's a group out there that's called evangelists or evangelicals for a certain candidate. And I'm telling you right now, it's a lie of the enemy. And I'm not going to get into great detail and call out the name, but it's called Evangelicals for and one of the candidates. You can't put that terminology together and vote for a candidate that is contrary to the Word of God. You can't do that and call yourself a Christian. You can't do it. And they can get mad at me all they want. But you cannot vote and say you're for a candidate that is for abortion. That's not God. That's Antichrist. I'm just telling you. And they're out there shouting. And they're bashing other men and women of God in ministries that are doing good things. Yeah, they literally bashed Billy Graham and his ministry. And I'm thinking to myself, you are in a bad, and I don't worship any minister, but that's a ministry that you want to talk about steady. Yeah. Yeah. That is probably the steadiest ministry in the top five that I've ever known. Yeah. And it's not even part of the denomination and belief system of us. We love Jesus both. Amen. But when you talk about consistency and steadiness, there's no ministry that I know of that's as steady as they are. So when you get into the political game of your flesh and you get fighting with the church, be far from me, because the Lord's not going to take that. And I'm telling you, you cannot, if you stand on God's word and you know the truth, the things you hear on TV and what they're promoting, even if they've put evangelical or have a certain person at their church to promote their agenda, I'm telling you, that is ungodly and demonic to the core.
Yes,
it is deceiving people and lying to people. Yep. Straight up. Yeah. All you need to do is know your word, book the Bible. It's not a political thing. It is, who cares how the person is or what they look like or what color they are? That has nothing to do with it. How have they voted the last 4 years or 10 years? How do they handle biblical things? Do they vote the Bible or not? That's all you got to ask yourself. If you're questioning which one should I vote, don't listen to the media. Get in your word. Do the history of how the candidate votes. And if they're voting for the Bible, vote for them. I mean, I can't get any easier than that. Because all they're doing, if you're warring against flesh and blood, you're getting caught up in the whole back and forth. Backbiting, jabbing each other. You did this, you did that. All that kind of, stay out of that. And not just in voting, but in life. There's so many people, even Christians, that are messed up because all they do is listen to social media. All they do is listen to what other people are saying. They do no work themselves. No work yourselves to find out the truth of the matter. Always just take whatever everybody else is doing. Oh, if that is popular, we're going to believe that. Go do your work. Yeah. Go do your study to show yourself approved. Amen. Get in the word and do it. That's the victory. You will not have the victory on somebody else's victory.
That's right.
You got to get it yourself. You have to get it on the inside yourself. Whew. Okay. Don't get me laughing. This isn't funny. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers. Here it is. This is what truly is what's forcing what's going on. It's not the person. See that? It's not the person. If you don't get along with your parents, don't blame your parents. You got to figure out what the motive is behind things. Amen. As a parent, when I made decisions, and my wife and I made decisions about how to raise our kids, they may have not saw the truth of the matter in the moment, but the fruit of it is coming to pass. Amen. So, behind the scenes, there is always a seed. There's a spiritual attachment to everything. So it says here, we don't war against flesh and blood. You should never be against people. There's something behind it. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So guess what? There's evil everywhere, but so is God.
Yeah.
So is God. Amen. I won't get into a teaching of all those words. I'll leave that for Pastor Joe or Pastor Lacey or Jake or a teacher. Anyway, but you must realize something. To have the victory and to walk in victory and stand in victory, you have to realize that you're in a battle. You can't be naive to it because your decisions are based off of those two factors. There's light and darkness. And every time you make a decision, are you making a decision for light or are you making a decision for darkness? And some people will say, well, it isn't a matter that's that big a deal. When you get sensitive to the Spirit, every decision is a big deal. and there's a consequence, or there's an opportunity. For instance, I could drive down the road and be like, man, I need gas in my vehicle. But you know, I ought to seek the Lord on where I should get the gas from, because there may be an opportunity to win a soul there. Or there may be something at another gas station when it's getting robbed and I ought not be there. And you think, well, that could happen. Oh, it does happen. Divine appointments are readily available to everybody that's walking in divine direction. Amen. So every decision has a divine influence. It has an effect. Amen. Even the simplest of things. You say, why are you dressed up so nice, Pastor? Because I have a funeral to do. Amen. I have a funeral this afternoon. There's a divine appointment there. There's something that's going to happen there that's going to be really good. Amen. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So you have to put on what? Every piece of God's armor, not what you want. Amen. The football player does not walk out there with a helmet only and say, we're going after it. Yeah. Amen. We're going. Only the rugby players do that. All right. They don't wear anything. Man, they tough. I'm telling you. Anyway, put on every piece of God's armor. There's a specific reason why there's different pieces. Specific. So that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So that means to resist the enemy, we have to be able to know what our armor is and where it fits. Mm-hmm. Amen. You got to know what is yours. If you don't know you have armor, guess what? You ain't putting it on. Yeah. Amen. If you didn't spend time with the Lord and you didn't know this scripture, you're getting beat by an area or a situations that you can't even see. Can you imagine being punched in the gut but not seeing the person in front of you punching you in the gut? That's what it is in the spirit realm. Yeah. Things are attacking you. You don't even know why or how. That thing's coming in. That gear's coming in to hit you and spin you out of control. You don't even see it coming. The armor says, oh, I see it. There it is. Boom, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see something. There's one piece of armor that I personally like better than all of them because it covers your whole body at one time. And anyway, I'm going to get to it. It's just a revelation I got. I got excited about it. Sorry. Not sorry. Resist the enemy in the time of evil. So there's going to be time of evil. When's time of evil? If you're breathing, it's time of evil. Okay? All the time, is just some things seem greater than others, but you got to keep your armor on every time. Don't put your armor off on Sunday because you're coming to church and then put it back on the 6 days of the week. You got to keep your armor on all the time. The enemy will send people to disrupt even at a church service. Even at a church service. Resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. How do you stand victorious? Put the armor on and resist. Resist the enemy. James tells us that. Submit to God or humble yourself before God. Resist the enemy. Resist. Everybody say resist. Have you ever resisted something? I hope so. Because if sickness comes on you, you got to do something about it. You got to what? Resist it. How do you resist it? Speak to it. That's putting your armor on. Okay. Resist. Withstand or stand against. To stand your ground. Amen. You can literally control your ground by resisting the enemy, because the enemy wants to take your ground. I talked about this earlier. If you give up your house and you leave it there, somebody's going to occupy it. You stop paying your taxes on your property tax, guess what? You're going to have a different ownership within a year. They'll take it to court or whatever, and then it'll be auctioned off. Just like that. You work for it your whole life. What you have done for the Lord, do not give up. Keep resisting. You say, well, I haven't seen it come to pass the way I want to. Keep resisting. Keep resisting. It's the apple tree. Amen. It's growing. It's budding. It's getting ready to produce. Keep resisting. Keep standing. Amen. Keep standing. So resist. Stand your ground, putting, got ahead of myself. Verse 14. So here we go. Here's the armor. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. What does a belt do? It holds your pants up, doesn't it? Yeah, keeps things in order, right? That's what truth does. Truth keeps you in order. It, wherever truth is of God's word, you have order there, don't you? Amen. Wherever you don't have truth, you have what? Chaos, disorder. That's what the belt does. So if you forget your belt, you're going to have some things out of order. Amen. Got my belt on today. Amen. Keep my pants up. Praise God, right? Amen. Jesus. Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Amen. Stand your ground. Some of you are asleep. Amen. I guarantee if I didn't wear a belt and something happened, you wake up. Jesus. Jeez. Stand your ground. You're coming alive. Stand your ground. I'm trying to read. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor or the breastplate of God's righteousness. What is a breastplate? It covers your heart, your lungs, the main aspects of who you are. So you put your belt on, and I'm not sure, but I think so. Don't quote me on this. I think the breastplate actually hooked to the belt in like Roman armor, okay? So it actually, one thing keeps the other in order, okay? So the breastplate protects your heart, your lungs, the very key to your life, your breath, the vitals. Thank you very much. That's what I was trying to get to. The last comment threw me off. The vitals. Amen. It keeps the vitals protected. So, the breastplate of righteousness. So, it protects the heart. So, if you don't keep your breastplate on, your heart can be seared. Your conscience. Amen. That's where your faith is. All right? That's where your conscience is. Your ability to make decisions. So, if you leave your breastplate down, you have your belt on, you have the truth, but you're not protecting your heart. Guess what? You can know the truth. You can be a believer, but you can surely get a hard heart. Why? Because you didn't keep your breastplate of righteousness. What's righteousness? Right standing and right living before God. Amen? So how do you keep your breastplate on? You stand with God, you believe God, and you do what the Lord's telling you to do. And you guess what? If you have your breastplate on, you can go where you want you need to go. Your heart's protected. So if you're standing in righteousness of God, your heart's protected. You don't have to question your heart. You don't have to question what the Lord's speaking to you. You receive it, and it's pure because you had the breastplate on. Yeah. Amen. But as soon as you lay that down, you start questioning things, and you open up your heart to be hardened by the things of the world. Yeah. Okay? So that you can have the belt of truth, or you can have the breastplate of righteousness on, but you don't have the truth of the matter. You're not fully protected. Yep. Does that make sense? Because you can have certain pieces of armor on, but not all of them. All of them are needed. Because the enemy knows what you don't have on, and that's where he's going to attack you. So if you're failing, if you don't have the truth of a matter, you need to find the truth of the matter. You need to dig and get the truth on any situation. Why? Because if you don't have the truth, the enemy's going to come in there and try to trick you, like Eve, about the word, what the word of the Lord said. You see how this works? Amen. I know this is a long sermon, but we're just getting started. Amen. So, stand your ground, put on the belt of truth, and the breastplate or the armor of God's righteousness. Notice, belt goes with truth, breastplate goes with righteousness. There's a reason for that. There's a bigger study into it. I don't have time today. Verse 15, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news that you will be fully prepared. That's vitally important. Back then, when it says in King James, shod, meaning they bound their feet with shoes of the good news. Amen. So good news goes wherever you go when your feet have peace of God. So wherever you go, there's peace because your feet are bound with God. The good news. Amen. So when you're a soul winner, guess what? There's like extra blessing on being a soul winner because you're literally going with the peace of God to share with others the goodness of what God has. Amen. You see this? Amen. If you don't have your feet bound, that's like going to battle with bare feet. Your cuts, everything else, rocks. Just think about the Roman soldiers if they didn't have shoes. How far would they get? Not real far, right? But if your feet are bound by the gospel, amen, you're at peace. You can go where you need to go, do what you need to do. And the Bible even says if you go into a house and there's no peace there, kick off your shoes, the dust off your shoes, and move on. God's peace in the gospel will lead you where you need to go. And it'll protect you from where you don't need to go. It's important to cover your feet. Feet are your ability of transportation. Hear that. Amen. Okay. A lot more in that one too. Verse 16, in addition to all these things, so here we have the belt, we have the breastplate, you have your shoes protected, you're thinking, man, I'm pretty good. Here we go. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows or darts of the devil. So the devil is trying to hit you. Notice something. If you have your breastplate covered, you got your belt on, and your feet are covered, you still have your legs, you still have your arms, you still have your hands that are open. What does the shield of faith do? The shield of faith will cover you fully. But the shield is only half of you, meaning it only covers the front. You understand what I mean? So wherever you go, you have a shield. And in the shield, I can't remember, but it's roughly about like 4 to 5 feet. It's pretty big. It's a big shield. But it allowed the soldiers to kneel down and they would be fully protected from everything that comes their way in front of them. It's important. But if you hold your shield and you're not holding it up, you're availing yourself to being hit with darts. So faith to me, personally, not doctrinally, I can't back it up. But to me, faith is a key to walking in victory. Because if your faith is up, you're protected. Every fiery dart of the enemy is going to go, and it's not going to hit you. Faith has the power to keep the enemy's darts from hitting you. Every single one of them. Even if it's past curses in your family, generational curses, you put that shield of faith up, it's not going to come near your dwelling place. Even if your family had lupus forever or had cancer, they all died when they were 45. Guess what? Shield of faith says, not me. Not me. Not that. That's not my lot. That's not my portion. I'm going to occupy till he comes. Amen. So the shield of faith is important because notice you put the other ones on and you can put the shield on, but you have to keep it lifted. You have to keep it in the right position. Some people don't have their faith in the right position and they get nailed. All right. Not you, though. Amen. Not you. Say, not me. Amen. Not me. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So that tells me when you pray, you have to stay in faith, not just pray and do whatever you want to do. Faith has to be consistent, turned on. Your faith has to be alive. It has to be functioning to keep your shield up. Even if you get tired, you got to keep your faith turned on. Even if you're physically down, you got to keep your faith turned on. Amen. That keeps the shield up. You may, man, I need a break, Pastor. I need a break. Well, kneel down behind your shield of faith. Take your break. No darts will hit you. Faith has to, it's your faith because it's your shield. Can you imagine 500 soldiers and only one of them has faith? And they're all trying to run around the one guy that has faith? Or a pastor that has faith? And the congregation doesn't? That's bad. We're all going this way together, fighting. Every one of us need our own shield of faith. If you don't have your shield of faith, you're open to the fiery darts. And I guarantee you, the enemy is going to see faith. He sees faith. He knows the word. He's not going to waste an arrow on someone that's in faith. He's going to see somebody that's open, seeking whom he may devour. That person in fear, there goes the arrow. I'm not telling you this to put you in fear. You got what you need. You got faith. You got your shield. Use it. Use it. Amen. Is this helping anybody? Okay, good. Great. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet, or put on the helmet of salvation. What does a helmet protect? Your head. What goes on in your head? Thoughts. If you don't have your helmet on, your thoughts are going nuts. And the helmet protects you from things of the outside, forces on the outside. So when you got your, you know, some people make a joke, put your helmet on. Amen. That means use your noggin. All right? So when God has, when we have renewed our mind, we must keep our helmet. So our thoughts have to be in line with what? Salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. Our thoughts should be in line with our Savior, our Lord, our King, our salvation, our deliverance, our freedom, our victory. Amen. All these good things and promises the Lord has. So if you're thinking on these things, that's what you're speaking. And when you're speaking them, that's faith being released. That's keeping your shield up, keeping your helmet on. But if you're speaking lies, then you don't have your belt on because you don't have truth. You see how this works? But if you got all your armor on, you're speaking positive, you got your faith up, you're going forward, you got the victory, you got breakthrough, and the enemy's under your feet, amen, and you're stomping them with the gospel, amen. Come on, get a hold of this church. If you realize what the armor is and what it's done, you're already victorious. The last one. This is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is to keep the enemy at bay. And people are like, well, you know, I got my armor on, but if you don't have the word in the spirit, all you're doing is constantly being bombarded all the time. You're never taking ground. You're never truly getting the victory if you don't have an offensive weapon. You're constantly on defense. Constantly on defense. And that's not God's plan. He's given you ways to defend yourself. But you're not supposed to stay in a place of constantly being hit with fiery darts where you can't even look over your shield and move. You feel like you're constantly in jail. Constantly. You're in faith, you're believing God, but you're not going anywhere. That's defeat. That's maintenance mode. That's not victorious mode. This is where the victory comes. Right here. Because this is offensive. If you don't have an offensive weapon, you have nothing to take the enemy down with. Yeah. You're constantly just trying to protect yourself. Yeah. Anybody ever been in just protection mode? Yeah. Yeah. Here's your key. Put on the salvation as your helmet or helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the key to continually walking in victory and triumphing over the enemy. Yeah. Is using the Word of God. Yeah. And a sword, Hebrews tells us the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. So, man, when you look at a sword, all three parts of it are sharp. Yeah. Each edge is sharp and the point. Yep. Amen. So anytime you release that sword, whatever it hits, it's going to cut. Yeah. It's going to kill whatever. You got to chop the head off the demon? No problem. Yeah. We can get it this way, or this way. Yeah. Either way, you slice it, it's getting it. Yeah. Amen. But if you do not pull your sword out, you have nothing to slay what's coming against you. So, for instance, if you're at battle, Pastor Joe, come up here. Do you want to be the good guy or the bad guy? Okay. You're the good guy. All right. So if I'm the demon and I'm just throwing darts at him. He's got his faith up. And and they're just bouncing. I get frustrated after a while. You know? Guess what? He's resisting. He's resisting. That's part of it. Amen. Keeping your faith turned on is resisting. Amen. Eventually, the enemy's going to be like, I'm done with this dude. He's resisting. What? He has to flee, the Bible says. Resist the enemy and he shall flee. Amen. So if he keeps his faith up, the enemy's going to get tired and be like, I'm wasting my time. I'm going for something else. Right? But as soon as the enemy resists, guess what? He's speaking the word. So what does he do? He whips out his sword and chops off the enemy's head. Yeah, amen. He doesn't have a sword. But, praise God. But you got to understand. You can sit down. It wasn't God. I got more. It's just not coming to me. Amen. I had a greater idea of an analogy. But anyway, the sword is the very thing that comes across the center line to take and get over into the enemy's camp. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you're constantly there, he'll just come, he'll send his buddy, and seven of them will come. Yeah. And then you'll have darts flying everywhere. But if you slay it and you get the victory over it, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Even if the thought comes back, you got your helmet on and say, hey, Jesus paid for that 2,000 years ago. I'm over that. I don't have to worry about what happened 7 years ago or 10 years ago or before I was saved. That has nothing to do with me now. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. I don't have to worry about my past anymore. All the things that caused my past to be negative are all under the blood. Jesus paid for them all. So guess what? You don't have to fight your past because your past has already been dealt with. Yep. All right? So we're battling areas we need not battle. Yeah. Yeah. If you're offended at somebody, that's your problem.
Come on, preach it.
Yeah. Even if they did you wrong, if you get offended, who's offended? You.
Yep.
Who chose to be offended? You.
Yep.
Who made that decision to get offended? You.
Yep.
So offense is you being in sin. Yeah, exciting, isn't it? The truth hurts sometimes. Ow! But deal with it. Deal with it. Why are you offended? They did you wrong? Well, who are you believing in?
Yeah.
Them? Oh, the government did you wrong? They're making you pay more taxes. Oh, I'm mad at the government. Believe God for more money.
Yeah.
Amen. Make a decision that your taxes will be paid. Oh, this person did me wrong? Bless them. They cut you off? Give them the lane. Amen. What is it going to matter? You're just showing them the love of God. Because a battle always takes two. So if you cut the devil's head off or the demon's head off, guess what? You don't have to battle that thing any longer. It's done. It's done. Not saying you won't have more battles, but you won't have that one. Once you have the victory over something, once you know you have a hope of salvation, you don't have to worry about your salvation. If any thought comes about your salvation, you deal with it.
Yep.
Amen. That sin nature is gone. The old man is gone. I'm alive in God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we have the belt, the breastplate, your shoes, the shield of faith, your helmet, and then the sword of the Spirit. There's teaching like unending on these subject matters. But I want you to get the benefit. Verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. I find that very interesting. Paul, immediately after talking about the armor, goes into prayer. Goes into prayer. That's key. That is key. Pray in the Spirit. Oh, well, I don't believe in tongues. Huh. What? What did that just say?
Yeah.
Pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
The only way you can pray in the Spirit is to pray in other tongues. So, if you don't believe in praying in the Spirit, it says pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, good, bad, or indifferent. You see people praying in the Spirit when it's good. Praise God. You shouldn't only have emergency tongues. Amen. You should be able to pray in the Spirit all the time. Praying keeps your armor on. Keeps you ready. Keeps you secure. Praise God. I have so much more to share. But I'll just have you bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm believing that this word is speaking to you even now. And there's so much more the Lord is going to continue to speak into your hearts. As you resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. And God's going to show you. You can play some music, please. God's going to show you what it is that you can have the victory over. He's already prepared it for you. Amen. It's already available to you. You can turn it up, please. There's something with music that speaks to the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But the first step to everything I talked about today, to everything church represents, to everything humanity in heaven represents, is surrounded by one key person. One person is the key to everything that's talked about within the church, within creation. Everything revolves around one thing. And that one thing is Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Words that were spoken today are speaking to the hearts of people, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to the hearts of people. making you question, man, where have I been? What have I been missing? How can I handle this? Jesus Christ is your answer. Every head bow, every eye closed, those online as well. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, he is the gateway to eternity in heaven. He is the one that's going to help you get over into the place of victory. There's one thing to stand in victory one time. There's another thing to live a life of victory. And Jesus is the one that's going to get you to stand, and he's going to get you the one to carry on in victory. You may say, well, you don't know what I've done. God knows what you've done, and he's already paid for it. And you have the victory over your past. Every sin that you've ever committed has already been paid for. Once you accept him, you have the victory over sin and death. It no longer has any power over you. There's no age requirement for this. There's no 10-step program to this. It's just what I said, making a decision to make Jesus your Savior and the Lord of your life. And if you would like to do that, I want to pray with you. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you've never asked him into your heart and you'd like to receive this one thing that'll give you eternal life and victory in this life, and you want him, I want to pray with you. Just lift your hand right where you are. Never asked Jesus into your heart, but would like to today. You'd like to know that you're going to heaven. You'd like to know that you can have peace and victory in every situation, no matter what. Maybe one time, long ago, you asked him into your heart, but you're not living the life you should be living. Maybe something's happened in your life that totally rocked you and caused you to go down a different path, and you'd like to get right with the Lord and put him first place in your life. And you've just been beating yourself time and time again. I missed it, I missed it, I missed it. Guess what? Today's your day. You're not missing it. You can ask Jesus into your heart. Rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, just lift your hand. Be honest with God. He sees where you're at. If you need help in an area, God is your answer. Just lift your hand where you are. No problem. No judgment. This is your freedom. This is your step. This is your decision of victory from this day forward. If the Lord's speaking to you or you raised your hand, I want you to come forward. Just come forward. Just stand right where you are. Come forward. Come forward and receive what God has for you. There's a life of victory waiting at this altar. And your decision is whether you want it or not. Whether you want it or not. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. Victory. Victory. Hallelujah. 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 For those that are listening online, I want to pray for you first. We're offline. Bye. Miss them. I'll pray for them anyway. There's no distance in the spirit realm. Father, I thank you for those listening online. And I thank you that the word that is in their spirit, hallelujah, coming alive on the inside, Lord God. Your word does not return void. It's doing a work in their heart, Lord. And I thank you that in their own time, even now, you're speaking to their heart, convicting them, convincing them that they need to turn from their ways and receive Jesus. And I thank you that they find that way, that you speak to them, you send a laborer across their path, or they pray and cry out to you and you hear their cry and you deliver them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing here. You're moving mightily in the hearts of people. It's not too late. It's not too late. You can come forward. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. This is between you and God. Life changing. If you're not happy the way things are going and you need change, here's your opportunity. I'm not going to belabor because I'm believing for healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is it a knee or an ankle?
Both.
Both. Do you believe both can be healed? Mm-hmm. Amen. Me too. Where two or more are gathered, he's here. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. Can you put your hands on her leg?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The change is here, the Lord would say.